And now your Ute Spring Football Update on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
JJ and Alex rolls on into the 4 o'clock hour. Thanks for joining us wherever you might be. Driving home from work, coming home from school, in the office, just at home chilling. Probably not doing any yard work today. I wouldn't. It's a little nasty outside.
I came home from Phoenix and went straight to the yard work because I was like, it's going to rain today. I got to get everything done. I'm one of those guys.
Yesterday,
now.
Did you get any done?
Yes, I did.
Good
I was out
you.
There. It was dark. You could pull up my cameras right now. I got the light going on the lawnmower. It's crazy.
What? You have light on the lawnmower?
There's a little light on the lawnmower.
You have a light on your lawnmower?
I didn't even notice this until yesterday. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And now I got like a light, like a headlight.
Where do I get one of these?
I think they're on all the newer models, man.
Okay.
I don't got much yard, so I got one of those
cheap.
You got a
five-figure lawnmower over at the Sylvester residence?
Oh, no, I used to at my other house. I had a little patch of grass. I had to give me a rider.
Okay.
Like, no.
No, that's when you truly arrived is when you can just sit and mow your lawn.
All my neighbors were jealous.
I'm still standing and pushing. At least I have a self-propelled, but I am standing and walking, which is good. Good exercise. But,
yes, for sure.
For those of you listening, me and Sly are now old.
Oh, yes.
And we are yard guys. And we when we talk about just regular old stuff, we're just talking
nice
about our yards.
Saturday.
We are officially old. So
Frank the Tank is the most relatable character ever. I didn't realize that until these past couple years.
Sly, don't go streaking. Don't go. You never go full Frank the Tank.
Honey, can we get some KFC?
Oh, man.
Don't go full Frank. That's a shirt right there.
There you go. Never go full Frank the Tank. Keep your clothes on, okay? Don't get crazy here.
Bring your green hat.
This hour of JJ and Alex brought to you by Doug Smith Dealerships for an incredible selection on Kia, Subaru, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, or Ram. Visit Doug Smith Dealerships in American Fork and Spanish Fork. Great service starts with know-how, and nobody knows how like Doug. I don't want to take up this whole segment. Talking about our yards because Utah had their spring game on Saturday and spring football's now wrapped up and there's nobody better to talk to than Sly about all this stuff. So let's get to it. Utah football spring wraps up is the cut at 4 o'clock.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Spring football in the books for the Utes as they get ready for their first season in the Big 12. Very few injuries, just the one devastating one to Levani DeMooney. You've got Cam Rising back, Brant Keithy back. Both look great in the spring game. I was surprised. Sly, I didn't expect to see both of them in action. Loved that they both were. And I think fans really, really were dying to see it. And I'm thrilled that Coach Whittingham and the staff saw the need to get those guys out there and let them get some reps.
Well, they had enough rest.
They were fresh. There's no doubt about that.
They had enough rest. They could play. They could play a couple quarters here. No, it was great, you know, to see them out there and do exactly what, you know, we're all expecting, what we're all getting ready for and entering the Big 12. You know, we've been talking all spring, all offseason, even last season. Oh, man, if we had these guys back, XYZ. So it's very good to see those guys out there fresh, good, answering. I hope they answered any questions that anybody else had. Of course, I've been able to go to a little bit more practices, so I understand my questions are answered. But, you know, I think it was just great for the fan base, even for the national fan base, to know that Utah's coming. Utah's here. Utah has, you know, Dorian Singer, Tayshaun Lyons, Landon King, Brant Keithy back. You know, we're getting Anthony Woods is a really powerful back. He runs hard. He runs like Isaiah Pacheco. Right? Absolutely awesome. Interchangeable back in Mekhi Bernard. We have offensive firepower here in Salt Lake City. And I think a lot of Big 12 teams understand that. They know that that's coming. And then we have our traditional defense that's been great for decades, right? Ever since Kyle Whittingham was a defensive coordinator back in the 90s, you know, this defense has always been a staple here in Utah. And so very excited for all of those things to come to fruition here this fall.
Let's hear from Kyle Whittingham, his overall evaluation of spring ball.
Great day for the fans to come out and look at the new edition of the Utes, the 24 edition. It was great to have Cam out there. Cam did not miss 1 minute of spring ball in any way, shape, or form. He was back to his old self. Great to see Brad Keithy back out there. A lot of new guys, you saw new additions to the team that made plays. So overall, spring ball was a big step forward for us. And now it's time to get back in the weight room when they come back off break in May and take another step forward there.
Okay, the work in spring is done. Now it's time to move on to the next season. As I've often seen coaches at the college level describe it, four quarters.
Mm-hmm.
January through March is that weightlifting quarter, and then you do spring ball, and then you get into the summer, which is the
third quarter,
and then the final season is your season. So they're on to the third quarter, which is pretty exciting. They got to feel good where they're at.
That's a whole other season. The fourth The fourth quarter is training camp.
Oh.
Yeah, so the third
You know better than me.
Yeah, so there's two seasons, right?
Okay.
There's the off season, a whole season.
Okay.
In season is a whole season.
Ah.
Right?
Okay, so gotcha.
The season, the first quarter of
the
off season.
So that's what they're referring to when they're talking about that.
Training camp is the fourth quarter of the off season.
Gotcha, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, they're heading into the third quarter, correct?
They got to take a little break, you know. So halftime. It's halftime right now. Bring out your oranges and Capri Suns. It's halftime right now. We'll get it third quarter started in June.
There you go. Sly, I think everybody's talking about the backup quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a chance to see your two backups on Saturday. You've been up there at camp. You've talked to a lot of people. You've had a chance to see those guys. And obviously, Brandon Rose had a leg up on Isaac Wilson because Rose is in his second year in the program.
Right.
This is his second spring with the Utes. Isaac Wilson is fresh out of high school. He was, he might have gone to prom over the weekend over at Corner Canyon High School. I have no idea. But he was playing high school football in November, and now he's playing college football at the spring game.
And
in
we
April.
Covered him.
We did.
We covered him.
To be honest with you, and one of the things I love about what we do in the fall is getting to call these high school games is it's really surreal.
We get to see these guys.
When you see them take that next step in college, and that's a big jump, massive jump. And to see him play like he did on Saturday in the spring game was not a surprise to either of us, but just really, really cool to see him make that transition successfully.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things that I've been talking about, everybody's been asking me about what my thoughts are of Isaac. And I just go back to just me and you when we were calling his games and we're seeing that, you know, from his junior year, the development that he made into his senior year and being Mr. Football, Mr. Gatorade player, and those little intangible things, you know, it's not always just throwing the ball. We always knew he throws a great ball. Right. But the decision making,
yes,
you know, setting the safety up, his pre-snap reads, those are things we commented on during the game that he did such a great job of. And that's what's translating to this D1 football, this Power 4 football level now. And you can see those things. You saw those things in the spring game. He's able to feel it. He's feeling comfortable. And so, honestly, this QB2 position, for me, it's like, who's feeling pressure? Isaac Wilson should not have any pressure on him right now.
I think you saw on Saturday that he wasn't, and I think somebody else might be.
Right? Right? And so that comes into play. So what situation is that person in? There's no pressure on Isaac Wilson right now. There's not. I'm fresh out of high school. Nobody's got any real expectation of me of beating out Cam Rising or anything like that. Let me just go out here and play. Let me understand this offense. You know, I have an NFL brother that I can lean on to get information from, to what to pay attention to in certain scenarios, because that's a lot of things. As we said, I think the quarterback position, as much as you can throw the ball, we have athletes all over the place, right? In basketball, NBA, there's tons of people who can dribble the ball, dunk the ball, you know, cross people over. But do you know how to play within the game, right? And that's the quarterback position. Can I make the right play at the right time, whether that's a short dump play off to the check down or out to the flats? Or is it, do I take a shot downtown, right? All of those things come into play, and where's the decision making happening? And that's Isaac Wilson. He's doing a tremendous job of understanding that. One, he's learning from Cam. He's learning from Coach Ludwig. He has his older brother. He has his own intuition, and he's got one of the best quarterback coaches probably in the nation in high school, in Coach Kerr down there at Corner Canyon, right?
No doubt,
pumping quarterbacks out of
every year.
There, and so like he's just had great instrumental mentors around him. To have success, man. So I'm very, very excited for Isaac Wilson's future, especially here in a Utah uniform.
Let's hear what Kyle Whittingham had to say about Isaac Wilson and that quarterback two battle.
Yeah, Isaac's really good today. He's a talented kid. Handled the stage, I guess you could say, very well. And he and Brandon will continue to battle into fall camp. But Isaac certainly took a big step forward today.
Big step forward today. So you saw that. And you feel like as time goes on here in the offseason, he's going to continue to take bigger steps. Sly, it's just so important. And why there's so much concern about that QB2 battle is because last year you didn't have that. Cam couldn't play. Cam wasn't ready. What did you have? You had a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You had a big problem. How do you feel about that situation now after you've seen spring football?
Well, one, the team kind of has gone through that scenario where you don't have your QB1, right? So the importance on QB2, I know going into last season, we weren't expecting Cam Rising to miss the entire year. So that was a gaffe on their part in understanding that. But I think the emphasis on understanding the next man up mentality, right, and what that truly means has really came into the forefront of people's mind of we need to make sure that that's secure. Right. And so I think this QB2 battle is very, very important. There's a lot of emphasis put on it for a reason. Utah fans and the nation should know how important that backup quarterback position is. Being one play away is not something that you should just graze over. It's literally you have to prepare. I mean, for me, there's no better story than Cam Rising behind Charlie Brewer.
Yeah.
Right. Cam Rising said, I prepared as if I was a starter every single time. You know, that very first game they played Weber State, Cam Rising went 7-for-7 and a touchdown. He was like, shouldn't he be starting in that opening game?
Yeah.
Right? And then we go to BYU, lose, and then we go down to San Diego State and wet the bed the first three quarters, and we're like, all right, Charlie, take a seat. Cam comes in, takes us to double, triple overtime, and, like, that was the beginning of Cam Rising.
Yep.
Right. And so being that next man up mentality, that one play away, I think anybody in those positions needs to be aware of that situation and be ready to go. And I think that Isaac Wilson is that guy. He's a study. He loves the game. He's just been around the sport forever. And I think he's built for it.
Let's hear from Isaac Wilson on how he feels he has progressed through the spring.
I mean, yeah, of course, ups and downs all throughout the process, but my goal is just to progress, get ready to play. Cam's got the job right now, but everyone's got to be ready.
Cam's got the job right now. I love that kid. He's
right.
Cam has the job right now, and Isaac's mentality is when he's not here or he gets hurt, I want the job.
I'm the guy.
As a true freshman.
The way he said that.
Straight out of high school.
The way he said that was he's confident in where he can be. Again, what we saw when we saw him in high school, from junior year to senior year, the progression that he made and the development that he made from year to year is what I believe that he's banking on. I know I'm having my ups and downs right now, but I have full confidence that I'll be able to get all these things. I understand where my mistakes were. More repetition, more experience, I'll be able to get it. One of the things that he told me last week when I interviewed him last week, he goes, it's a lot faster, right? But that's an adjustment.
Yeah.
And so if he can make that adjustment here in this next year, I think he's going to be ready to go.
Well, he certainly did in the spring game. He was terrific in the spring game.
Right.
Two touchdown passes that has Ute Nation excited. I think that Brandon Rose, I mean, it's neck and neck. You know, Brandon Rose didn't have the touchdowns that Isaac had, but
mm-hmm.
You know, there's a reason why they haven't called it yet. It's going to continue to be a competition. I know they love Brandon Rose a lot as well. Isaac just had a better Saturday, and it happened to be in the spring game. So that battle would continue. But what Utah fans really care about is how good is Cam Rising going to be? How good is this offense going to be? How good is Utah going to be? Let's hear from Cam Rising and his evaluation of the offense following spring ball.
We're looking good. We're sharp right now. Not where we need to be for season, but we're getting there. So just got to keep working throughout the summer, and I think we'll be there.
Let's dig into the offense, Sly. What has you most excited about what they bring offensively this year?
Cam Rising.
That's a good start.
I mean,
that's a really good start.
We had assets last year, but time and time again, it was just like they couldn't get the guy the ball. Whether it was Nate Johnson or Bryson Barnes, they couldn't get the right guys the ball at the right time. You know, Mikey Matthews loved him. We couldn't get him the ball at the right time. You know, Devon Vele, extremely veteran, experienced asset we couldn't get him the ball until late in the season. We talked about this. Why did Devon Vele's numbers not jump until the end of the season? He was available all year.
Right.
Right? But there's like, oh, maybe we should be throwing this guy the football.
You got to get him the ball. He's not the quarterback. He's not taking it from center. He can't make those decisions. You got to get it to him.
Exactly right, right? Money Parks, we opened up the season. 70-yard bomb.
Where did he go?
How did we not do that again?
Well, it was good.
I literally would have opened up the game every single game doing that.
What did you see in the spring game?
Hey, you
Cam
saw some,
Rising Money Parks.
You saw some bombs.
Yep.
Money Parks is a great asset, man. Can't wait to see him, Dorian Singer, Tayshaun Lyons, Manir McClain, all of these assets together. I mean, there's so many things to be excited about this offense. Literally. I mean, I know I'm biased. Fans, I know I'm biased. You got it out here. But I've been sitting here. I'm also a realist, too. This is going to work, right? Whatever type of offense we choose to run. Remember, like, 8 years ago when the St. Louis Rams, when Jared Goff was and took them to the Super Bowl, I think it was 16 or 17, they ran this offense that nobody could stop because it was the first time they did it. They brought everybody in close. You know, the tight receivers, they had 2x2 sets, and they just did a crap ton of crossing routes in many different variations of ways, and nobody could stop it. We ended up doing that in this offense, and it was successful. Literally, any type of offense we want to run, we can do in this offense. Whatever personnel we want to run, whether that's 13 personnel with Landon King, Brant Keithy, and Carson Ryan, we can do. Whether it's 11 personnel with Brant Keithy, Anthony Woods, Jalen Glover. I like Jalen Glover in 11 personnel because Jalen Glover's an excellent pass blocker, right?
Yeah.
So he could pass block and then go out on a check down and get him the ball in open space. That'd be awesome. But lo and behold, if you go 11 personnel, you got four verticals, Dorian Singer, Money Parks, Manir McClain, Dorian Singer, Tayshaun Lyons.
Why not Brant Keithy with that as well?
Brant Keithy and all of that, right? Like, you could have a mix of different personnel, and it's going to work. Say you're going down the field, and you substitute those guys out. You bring four more in. You put the pressure on the defense all game, no matter what running back you have in there, from Anthony Woods to Mekhi Bernard to Jalen Glover to Mike Mitchell.
Well, what Mekhi Bernard does, I mean,
right?
Is he more valuable as a runner or a receiver? You can have that argument, but the fact is he can do both.
And go no huddle. Remember when we go no huddle?
Yeah.
Utah was dangerous. You interchange, you know, the tempo. You go from no huddle to huddle, and the defense is like, I don't know what it's going to be. They're on their toes the entire time. Where they think you're going to go no huddle and you slow it down, that puts a defense in a complex right there. And so as an offense, the defense has to adjust to you so you control the tempo. And I think that this offense, this team, has the ability to control every single football game.
Let's get into the defense now. Anything you see out of spring or moving forward that gives you any pause or concern that this team won't be ready for the offenses that they're going to see in the Big 12?
Any cause for pause, right? You know, for me, I just want to make sure we can get after the quarterback. You know, I think we were getting after the quarterback like crazy with the combination of Jonah Ellis and Logan Fonnell. And then Logan got injured in Oregon State, right?
Yeah.
Logan was just coming into his own, really understanding this defense, where he had to be. He was making all kinds of TFLs. And then on a sack, he tears his ACL.
Crazy.
Right? And so, like, I can't wait to see him back. You know, they say that he's on track to be back. That's going to be exciting. But we just got to make sure that Sac Lake City comes back. Connor O'Toole's put on 10 more pounds. You know, I talked to him as Q1 ended. As Q1 ended, he's like, that's what I'm bringing back to the game. I've been working on my individual moves a little more, but I've also added 10 more pounds, you know, to my frame to be able to be a force in the running game. And so now you'll have him. Van Filger will come back from injury on the other side. And you got Samote Pepa, Junior Tafuna, Keona Tonavasa. Keona Tonavasa was a huge surprise last year that I'm really excited for. And then you got the ultra-reliable Karini Reed and Lander Barton. Your front five, your front six, your front seven, solid. Solid. And then you're back in. You got Zamaya Vaughn, who's from training, from spring ball, and all the coaches and all, even all the other players, he's the man. He's the man back there. And, you know, even last year, Sharif Shaw coming up to me and saying, that's the guy. And so he's got another year under his belt, another year of confidence, really owning position, owning the technique. He's going to be the guy that Jalen Johnson's for us, right? The travel with the number one receiver from team to team, you know, going through the Big 12. We'll be able to handle it this year. We got 10 Big 12 games, nine conference, but 10 Big 12 games this year. And I'm very, very excited for it. I think that we're going to be ready. This defense, Morgan Scully, the fire that he brings, the players play like that, right? And so very, very excited for this defense again.
How much NFL talent are we going to see on the field this fall?
On defense? Oh, geez, the entire bit. Oh, man.
Because I bring you that up while you're thinking about that. I bring that up because it truly is a measure of how great you can be. And you look back on the great Utah teams, your team in 2008, there was more than a dozen NFL guys.
Right.
2004, more than a dozen NFL guys. These 2011, 2012, 2021 and 22 teams for Utah. 2019, great teams that did great things. A lot of NFL guys. Does this team have as much talent and NFL-level talent as those teams?
Well, again, and everybody listening, it's not that they're going to go out in 1 year. It's just who's on that team, right? And the young guys on this team, right, it may not graduate next year or go to the draft next year, but they will be in the future. I think they probably – this is probably – given an opportunity, might be one of the deepest rosters we've had. It's up there on 08 or even deeper.
Of course, it should be, right?
Right.
You've been in the Pac-12. You've been playing Power Five
for
football for a long time, and you won two straight Pac-12 championships, back-to-back Rose Bowl appearances. Should be killing it in recruiting. You should be able to get great talent.
It's the super seniors as why. Our super seniors
have
been here for a while
Nothing
are adding that. To that number.
Yep.
But yes, they are on this roster. So these guys that have been on this team through those Pac-12 championships these past years, making that happen, the NFL talent on this is deep. I'm seeing at least eight on defense. Offense is even just as much or more.
So you're looking at defense right now, and you believe 8 of the 11 starters will eventually be in the NFL.
And not starters, players on the team. You know, I think Smith Snowden's NFL caliber.
Zamaya Vaughn.
Zamaya Vaughn. This is just in the DB section, but I think Tayo Johnson. He's only a sophomore this year, and he played a lot of great minutes last year. He's already the starter here. Get another year, 2 years under his belt. He's an NFL caliber guy, very instrumental. He's played all these different positions. He started at nickel last year, so you know he has the capability of doing that. He's a QB in high school. He's extremely athletic, can do all these things. He's a big-time hitter. We saw that on the very first play.
It's Florida.
From scrimmage on Florida, right? He does all these different things. Kenan Johnson transferring from Georgia Tech. Extremely fast, physical. He already has that type of energy to him, NFL guy. Krenny Reed, Lander Barton at the linebacker level. You got Connor O'Toole's NFL guy, Junior Tafuna. Samote Pepe's just an NFL body. I'm not sure if he'll get drafted, so that's yet to be seen. But you're getting a 330-pound guy that can plug holes and run sideline to sideline. If Casey Hampton can do it, Vince Wilford can do it. I think Samote Pepe is more athletic than them. He'll get them there, right? That's defensively. And then, offensively, we got Spencer Fano on the offensive side of the ball, offensive line. I think Mekhi Bernard will get a shot. Cam Rising, Isaac Wilson in the future. You got Dorian Singer already, NFL caliber guy. Money Parks, I think, will get a shot. Depending on the year that Manir McClain has, because I think he has NFL body. He has the speed. He's a freak of nature. When you talk to the strength coaches about the stuff that he can do, he has that. But you got Brant Keithy, Landon King, NFL body size, 6'5", tight end, lanky, tall, one-on-one guy that can make things happen in a slot. Put a little bit more weight on him. He's going to be dominant force. This team's loaded, man. We got talent across the board.
There's no doubt about that, and it's going to be exciting to see how it all comes together. And as long as they avoid the injury bug they had last year, and I cannot imagine that could replicate itself in 2024, I believe Utah's the team to beat in the Big 12. Objectively looking at it, I'd like to see anybody else come up with a case based on personnel, experience, talent, coaching. Utah has everything that you need to win this league and to make the college football playoff. If they win the Big 12 championship, they make the college football playoff, they'll have a top four seed and a bye in the first round, and then you're talking about much bigger things than just making the playoff for the first time ever. You're talking about making noise once you're there. And this is a Utah team that has that potential. We will wait and see if it comes together. We will wait and see if they can stay healthy. We'll wait and see if Cam Rising is still Cam Rising.
Championship.
He looked like it on Saturday. I know it's just a spring game. He didn't have a 280-pound defensive end that runs a 4.440 coming after him on the outside.
Right.
Okay. He wasn't fair game like he will be in the season. But Cam looked good on Saturday. Cam looked like Cam.
Mm-hmm.
Looked healthy. Looked right. Didn't look like he was hesitating in any way. Had connection with his guys. It all looked great. It all looks good right now. We'll wait and see. But man, if you're a Utah fan, you've listened to this segment and you've watched everything, be excited. Have high expectations, because this is a group and a program that will accept those expectations this year, and they will do everything they can to try to meet them. We got to take a break. When we come back, it's the Jazz Daily. We'll look back on the Jazz season finale and spend more time looking at the NBA playoffs. We'll also maybe look at the Jazz moving forward, some of the things they need to do in the offseason will be able to do in the offseason to try to take the next step. That's that and more next on JJ and Alex 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Basketball, give me the ball. Keontae goes to the top, comes off the pick, rotates to the right, feeling it, fires and hits. Steve Kerr wants a timeout. Keontae George is having a game he's going to remember all summer long. 5 threes, 8 of 11 overall, and the Jazz are back within one behind Keys 21.
Season 50 of Utah Jazz basketball has come to a completion. The season is over. It's in the books. The Jazz finished 31-51 on the season after the loss in the season finale to the Golden State Warriors, but a loss was a win. Why? Because the Jazz have secured the 8th best odds in the NBA draft lottery. If they had won the game, they would have had to go into a coin flip with the Clippers and potentially could have fallen to 9th, which would have made for a very nervous night on the NBA draft lottery, which is May 12th, because if Utah somehow got passed up twice, which would be possible in that scenario, they would fall to 11th, which means the Thunder would get the number 11 pick, and that would have been an absolute nightmare for the Jazz to lose the first-round pick at that scenario. The Thunder getting the 11th pick in the draft would also be very, very unfair, but give the Thunder credit for doing what they did. But that's not going to be a problem anymore. So Jazz season over. Couple things slide before we get to the playoff picture overall in the NBA. I wanted to make some things of note that I thought stood out this year. I thought the best story, best player overall for 82 games, and David Locke mentioned this, and I agree with him. It was Colin Sexton, and the fire and the attitude and the hunger that he played with this season, taking his game to another level. I thought he was great. In tough circumstances, when there was plenty of time where he could have quit or said, I'm injured,
right.
He was out there. He only missed 2 games because of an illness. He was awesome tonight. This year. He was their Iron Man. He was the guy they leaned on a lot. And all the other guys, a lot of the key guys were injured a lot. Jordan Clarkson, Lowry Markkanen missed a lot of games, and Colin was that guy. And then combining that with the fact that you had 3 rookies come in and got a lot of experience. And I look at that draft last year, and it feels like right now, Sly, I don't know if those guys, any of these 3 guys, are all-star players. I think you probably have the most hope for Keontae being that guy. But all 3 guys look like solid NBA rotation players or starters, and I feel like the Jazz nailed the 2023 NBA draft. And we got a chance to prove that. They got a chance to prove that with those 3 guys getting so many minutes, as we got to see what they could really do, which is going to be really valuable in the evaluation process for the Jazz moving forward as they continue this rebuild.
Yeah. They can be comfortable in making a move and feeling good with it no matter what, right? That happens. One, Colin Sexton, the way he came about this is what we expected. We expected him to be this type of player. you know, coming in here in that Donovan Mitchell trade. So, you know, him making that happen, making the most out of nothing is just something that you can invest in the future. As far as being a key contributor on this football team, Colin Sexton's always the young bull, man.
Yeah.
He has the aggression and the temperament to be a highly competitive player for years to come. And that's what you need. You always need somebody like that to bring the energy in the team. When the team's not feeling the energy, you need somebody to bring it, right? And he's that guy, man. And so contributing on this team when you had so many young guys come in and needing that time to develop and needing all of these things, you know, this is the time to make a move again, man. You'll see the next moves in the next year or two with Utah, and hopefully Colin's a part of that. But these young guys gotten that experience, proved value, you know. Hopefully they stay here in Utah. But if they don't, you have assets to move.
Absolutely. And the rebuild will continue. And there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. Look, I'm not going to there's no sunshine and rainbows for me on this. Like, losing sucks. And Jazz fans, I know that you know and understand what this is all about, but it doesn't make it any easier. Short-term pain for long-term gain. Well, what is long-term here? How right. patient can everybody be?
Right.
I think the Jazz will do everything they can to accelerate this when they can, but we've talked about this. You and I have talked about this on the show. That deal's not out there right now, so they're going to have to wait and continue to build through the draft, which is the next step. I said the NBA lottery is on May 12th, so that'll confirm where the Jazz will be selecting in the 2024 NBA draft. Jazz Daily is brought to you by America First Credit Union. Get the official debit cards of the Utah Jazz, University of Utah Sports, Real Salt Lake, and more exclusively at America First Credit Union. Sunday was nuts sliding the NBA. You look at the West, and only the 4 and 5 seeds were locked up. Everything else was from 1 through 10, outside of those two spots, was completely up for grabs. We didn't know who the 1, 2, 3 seeds were going to be. We didn't know who was going to get that 6th clinching spot. We didn't know who exactly was going to be in the play-in and where. We do now, though. So let's take a look. I want to get your thoughts on what you see here. What stands out to you about some of these first-round playoff matchups? Where's the upset? Who can pull off the upset? Let's start in the West. Let's start in the West. Because I think that's
the most exciting.
We might spend the whole time in the West. If so, so be it. Yeah. The East is also equally interesting, although the Boston Celtics just look like they are inevitable.
Juggernaut.
We'll get to that in a moment. There are a couple things, teams, though, in the East, I think, that can give them a run, and it may surprise you who I say. But let's start in the West. The Thunder winning the number one seed. At the start of the season, I would have laughed at you. And wow, has that team come together. Chet Holmgren in his rookie season, although he was drafted a couple years ago, was awesome. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander becomes an MVP candidate. They've got depth. Oh, my gosh, they got talent. And they've got so much capital left to build through the draft and surround those players with. The Thunder are going to be a problem. They might be the number one seed for the next decade. They're that loaded and they're that stacked with picks and everything else. It's going to be tough to knock them off. But are they truly the number one seed or the best team in the West? I'm not buying that. I don't think they're ready. Your thoughts?
I'm not either. One, coming into the season, if I would have, you know, got any inclination on how Chet Holmgren would be, you know, I just didn't know how his transition would be into the league. And it's kind of a Ben Simmons scenario right now anyway, coming into his first year in the league. But the Oklahoma City Thunder is dangerous. As you said, the youth, the kind of confidence they're playing with, extremely dangerous. But again, you can't knock every – it is so – as we said, we couldn't figure out who was who. The top three positions were shuffling the last three or four days at least three or four different times. Of who's going to be number one. Is it Denver? Is it Minnesota? Is it Oklahoma? You had no idea. And so Minnesota's a dangerous team with Anthony Edwards. All these different matchups are going to be crazy. But Oklahoma City Thunder, we'll see how they go. You need experience in these positions. The Denver Nuggets winning last year is because they've had experience to get them to the finals. You know, all these other teams, these younger teams like Oklahoma, Minnesota, even L.A., they don't have that deep run playoff experience. I mean, you got Russell Westbrook on LA. Paul George hasn't been in that scenario. Kawhi has. James Harden hasn't. He's been to the Western Conference Finals, but, you know, kind of wet the bed. But for them together, they need more time. Dallas, the same scenario. Phoenix, though, they could surprise you just because of how talented they are.
No doubt.
Just because of how talented they are.
That team's a sixth seed, that's how good the West is.
No. Golden State being the 10th.
I know.
Is what is so surprising to me. And honestly, that may be the most dangerous scenario. Is if Golden State can become the 8th seed and play Oklahoma City, you better come with it. All the matchups are just going to be absolutely crazy. The play-in tournament might be the best play-in tournament setup we've had thus far on both East and West Coast. Absolutely love the Pelicans and the Lakers just essentially playing the same game they just played yesterday, tomorrow night. And then, you know, the Kings and Warriors, we've seen that series last year. That was awesome.
Yes.
And so can't wait to see
get a one and done between those two teams on Tuesday night.
Draymond Green stepping on other people's chests. It's going to be a wild, wild matchup tomorrow night.
Those two teams fighting for their playoff lives.
Crazy.
Winner take all tomorrow night is going to be must-see TV. I am so excited about that. Before we get into the playoff matchups in the West, just the play-in. How do you see this shaking out? This is really fascinating because, you know, everyone's going to say Lakers, Warriors. But that's a really good Pelicans team, and the Kings were the 3 seed last year. No, they were they were up there. I mean, they were a really good team last year. So, how do you see this playing out?
Man, I don't know, because it's been a tight race for everybody. And you look at the regular season games and how they played. One, New Orleans got a good taste of the Lakers on Sunday.
The Lakers smacked them on their floor.
On their floor.
It doesn't give me any confidence tomorrow night, but that could be a completely different deal.
It could be, but that's the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Playoffs? No, that's the playoffs. And it's crazy, and I can't wait to see it, to see if they can make any adjustment. Can Willie Green make any adjustments to beating the Lakers? Because the way that LeBron played in that game, 9 assists in the first quarter, he came in there on a mission. Like, he knew exactly what to do. If you guys try to give Zion the ball, I know exactly how to defend him. That's not traditionally LeBron to take a guy like Zion out of the mix, and they did. And if you could put Rory or somebody on Brandon Ingram to slow him down, New Orleans doesn't have anything. You got to slow Brandon Ingram down some way. Once you do, CJ McCollum, go off if you want. That's not going to make a difference. But Brandon Ingram's a difference maker offensively for New Orleans. If you can slow him down and then take Zion out of the mix, New Orleans has absolutely nothing.
Interesting situation here with that 7-8 game, Sly. Because the winner of that game is in the playoffs. They're the 7th seed. They can rest easy. But your reward is the
resting easy?
Defending world champion Denver Nuggets. If you lose that game, you're fighting for your playoff lives in a one-game scenario against the Kings Warriors, but your reward is an 8 seed against the Thunder. Which would you rather have, a first-round matchup with Thunder or a first-round matchup with the Nuggets?
Here's my thing is, you want to play those odds, and you get the winner of Sacramento and Golden State. Because you're not guaranteed the 8th spot.
Well, that's the dilemma. You're right? Absolutely right.
Do you want to go against Steph Curry?
In a one-off?
In a one-off?
Heck no.
They haven't been able to beat the Kings.
No.
They haven't been able to beat the Warriors.
You get what I'm saying here, how precarious this is, because winning the 7 seed tomorrow night is not necessarily a reward.
No, it's not.
But if you lose that game, then you're looking at not making the playoffs at all.
Exactly.
So which door do you choose, Lakers?
Well, I'm a Lakers fan.
Which door do you choose, Pelicans?
This is why we're talking about this. We're talking about this because I'm a Lakers fan here.
So it's tough.
And for me, I would say win the game, get to 7th seed, play the Nuggets. Play the Nuggets early in the playoffs instead of late in the playoffs when you're tired and exhausted.
Just feel that Thunder team, as good as they are, just a 7-game series for many of those players, almost all of them for the first time. That's a heavy, heavy thing. And being the number one seed, we saw 2021 with the Jazz how heavy of a burden that is when you're the number one overall seed.
Yes.
It's not easy.
No,
the target's
not
on your back. Even though you haven't won a title, everyone's looking at, oh, they're the one seed. we don't have home court. We're going to go in there and smack them in the mouth. Game one.
Playoff is a different season.
It is.
It's a different. I don't care about your home court advantage. I don't care about nothing. You got do or die people like Steph Curry, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant, who's at the bottom of the bracket. Those could potentially be the 6th, 7th, and 8th seed. Is Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and Steph Curry is at the bottom of the bracket? That's insane.
It is insane. What a year for the West.
Right.
Real quick, the two playoff matchups we do know about in the West. Timberwolves Suns. I love the Suns in that one. I don't think the Timberwolves are ready. Hate to say it. Love Mike Conley. Love Rudy Gobert. Love Anthony Edwards.
He's love, my guy. I told love. You guys.
I think he's the next star in the NBA, as long as he can keep the right attitude.
But him and Bradley Beal getting into it yesterday too.
I like it. I like it. I like playoff. Everything about him. Yes. He's just very, very awesome to watch. The Clippers Mavericks series could be an all timer for me.
Oh yeah.
This is going to be unbelievable. I just love it.
Yeah.
You got the Clippers in their roster. We know who they have. You got a Harden, you got a Westbrook on top of a Kawhi Leonard and a Paul George and all the players they have on that team. And that's a team that feels some urgency. This is their window to win a championship. That's the one team I look at in the West as a real threat to the Nuggets. I know people are saying the Lakers and the Warriors and the Suns. No, I think the Clippers are the biggest threat to the Nuggets. Although the Suns did play really well against the Nuggets this year. I think they won 3 of 4. So that's something to take note of. But we wouldn't see that until the next round anyway. Yeah. But that Clippers-Mavericks series is going to be epic. Real quick in the East, Celtics await that play-in winner, as do the Knicks. The Knicks won the 2 seed. The Bucks are falling from the sky. I think they could lose in the first round against the Pacers. That Cavaliers-Magic series will probably be buried on NBA TV, but I think they'll regret it because I think that could be one of the best, most competitive first-round matchups. That Magic team is a lot of fun to watch. Good young team, Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner. And then you're looking at the play-in scenario. You're looking at two really good teams at 7 and 8.
I don't think the Sixers want to play, or the Knicks want to play the Sixers. Nobody wants to play the Sixers right now.
You win the 2 seed and you got to play the Sixers in the first round with a now healthy Joel Embiid. No thanks. And that's crazy that we could get the Knicks Sixers in the first round. And how about the Heat and Celtics rematch from the Eastern Conference Finals last year? If it plays out the way it looks, if the Sixers beat the Heat and the Heat beat the winner of the Bulls Hawks, the East could be equally as interesting as the West once we get to the playoffs, because the Sixers and Heat, I believe, are the only two teams in the East that could actually give the Celtics a series. The teams in the middle, 2 through 6, no.
Right.
It's the Sixers and the Heat that present the biggest threat to the Celtics.
That could be the first round.
And it could be a Celtics-Heat first-round matchup, which is crazy that a 64-18 Celtics team going up against a 46-36 Heat team could be seen as an even series matchup. But I'm sorry, if you haven't been paying attention, you didn't see the Heat in the playoffs the last few years.
Playoff Jimmy,
they know how to get to the finals. And yes, Jimmy Butler changes who he is and how he plays and takes things to another level in the playoffs. Do not count out
different season.
The Miami Heat. Can't wait for the playoffs. The play-in gets underway tomorrow night. We'll break that down again tomorrow as you get ready for those two big play-in games on Tuesday and then two more on Wednesday. We got to take a short break here on JJ and Alex. Up next, WNBA draft is tonight. Star power. We talk about star power and entertainment. The WNBA has the spotlight tonight. We'll get into that. And Utah's Alyssa Peely has a chance to be in the first round. You'll hear from her as well next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jeremiah Jensen, Stevenson Sylvester. We continue. Win tickets Wednesday. Don't miss your chance to win big every week on the KSL Sports Zone. This week on Win Ticket Wednesday, you can win a pair of tickets to see Blue October at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater on August 24th. Listen to the KSL Sports Zone all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. Speaking of winning, the WNBA draft is tonight. Tonight could be another big win for women's basketball, as the league brings in one of its greatest classes, perhaps the greatest class in WNBA history. You've got obviously got Caitlin Clark, you've got Cameron Brink, you've got Kimola Cardoso, you've got Angel Reese. The list goes on and on and on. And you also have our very own Alyssa Peely, the Utah All-American, expected to go as early as the first round tonight, at least if not then possibly early second. Let's hear from Alyssa Peely as she gets ready for her big night tonight.
The difference with this class is, you know, we have a chance to do something special in the sense of, you know, making our mark as athletes, because everybody's incredibly talented and, you know, it's going to be fun to see at the next level, but also just having that media presence and a platform that we do have in inspiring younger athletes and things like that. I think that's where it kind of makes it special, where we could do both at the same time.
There you go. That's part of a greater conversation you can go and see on KSLSports.com, see and read about. Michelle Botkin had a one-on-one sit-down with Utah All-American Alyssa Peely as she prepares to be drafted tonight in the WNBA draft, one of the greatest draft classes the league has ever seen. Obviously, tonight, slide the spotlight on Caitlin Clark. She's expected to go first overall. Just how big of an impact do you think this group of women can have on the game? It's not the first. There's been great players over the years. It's just there's something special about this class, and specifically Caitlin Clark.
Would Indiana ever trade away that first? Us gambleholics.
I guess you'd learn a lot about the Indiana fever if right? they did. That'd be pretty stupid.
Yeah, she's generational. I'm so excited. I've been watching, you know, women's basketball heavily the last few years. Always been in tune with it through the 90s. My mom was a huge basketball player here on the West Coast a long time ago, because I'm old, so my mom's really old. No, but
your mom's listening right now, I'm sure.
I know. In the 80s, my mom was a pretty good basketball player, and so that's how she raised us to be, you know, basketball players. We were huge, and basketball was our family. And so, you know, just knowing where women's basketball has come from the mid-90s to where it is now, it's been absolutely awesome. You know, just the way these women attack the game, their intensity, their focus, their wanting to be great, it's absolutely awesome to watch and be a part of. And we were just talking about it, right? The WNBA have stepped up their game as far as the draft goes. It's not like a fashion show out there.
It's,
you know,
different. And it's awesome. Yeah, the players are stepping it up. I just hope the WNBA itself as an organization is ready for these women basketball players and can really put a spotlight on them and continue the momentum from women's college basketball and get that to now happen in the pros. They haven't been able to do that in the past for some reason. Hopefully, the Caitlin Clark phenomenon, these games on national television, that can change things, because you put all these women on the court, I'm watching, I want to watch Caitlin Clark, I want to watch Angel Reese, I want to watch these things now move from the college game to the WNBA level, because you had how many people, 17.3 million people watching the championship game? There's a market for this. People want to see these players right at the highest level. The WNBA now, it's up to them to take full advantage of it. We got to take a break. When we come back, Alemma Harrington will join us on the show. We'll break down the Jazz season and much more coming up next. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Take the zone with you wherever you go. Download the KSL Sports app to get live streaming of your favorite shows.
Downloading.
Download the latest podcasts and get all the latest breaking news on the teams you can't live without. Everything you need delivered right to your phone.
Let's go get them where we can get them.
Just search KSL Sports on your app store of choice. Download it now. The KSL Sports app, presented by University of Utah Health. This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Sell me on Mark Pope. Give me a 30-second spiel that the athletic director at Kentucky is selling to fans.
He plays a very modern style of basketball that I think will succeed at Kentucky.
Can I tell you, I think that is the number one thing? Other than I know he has the connections, and look, if Mark Pope hadn't played at Kentucky, he never gets this job. He's not even in consideration for this job. But he does have that history. He was a former captain. He did play in the NBA. All those things are pluses. All those things, I think, help. His style of basketball is really conducive to NBA players. He shoots a ton of threes, which is where the NBA is going. And then he already runs some pro sets. We talked a lot about how good that dribble handoff stuff was that nobody in the Big 12 ever figured out how to defend. So I actually think that is the biggest thing, and that could be what ends up winning over fans in Kentucky, is what it looks like to have an actual basketball coach and not a recruiter.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
April's one of the best sports months on the calendar. You've got great monster sporting events you don't want to miss. The NBA playoffs, the NFL draft is coming up next week. Ryan from the Dish Pros will make sure you've got your TV situation under control and affordable. Ryan, what do you have for everybody?
That's what we're all about, is getting the best deal, guaranteed, and guys, getting the games that you want to watch. You work too hard to come home and not be able to watch the games and shows you want to watch. And there's nothing cooler than having a DVR that can do that automatically for you. It'll auto-record the games for you. It'll auto-hop commercials. Lots of cool features that Dish offers that nobody else offers. And guys, we want to dial you up for the best system and get you the very best price. Now, listen, there's a lot of options. We know that. And a lot of people have gone with different streaming app options to try to piece everything together. Well, you end up combining all those bills, and you're probably paying more than you would if you just had a traditional system like Dish, especially with the offer that's out there.